Lord Jesus, what an awesome God you are. Man, you do things so great. Man, I could just go home and go to bed. I am wiped out. God is so amazing. His love for us is so great. Now, he gave me this message almost 2 months ago. And if I can possibly share it with you the way he shared it with me, we'll all go home and go to bed. Praise God. What an awesome God we serve. He is amazing. And there are so many testimonies in this house. Whew. He's so good. He's so kind. And it's about him for us. That's what amazes me. It's all about God for us, his love for us. We were in Power Hour this morning. And we're talking about Jesus and how he learned obedience through suffering. Whew. I said, he didn't even have to put on a body. He's the Word made manifest in the flesh. He didn't have to put on a body, but if he didn't, we wouldn't be here. What a mighty God. People wanted to see God. And all in history, you see people looking for God and worshiping the creator, the creature, worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Somebody told me it's about science. I said science didn't create. Science calls themselves discovering, which they're not, because God already created and made. And then they want to give credit to themselves for learning something that God is teaching them instead of honoring God, the creator. We get so backwards. I'm so glad he's delivering us from ourselves and from Satan. All right, it's not I. And that's what's been said here already all day. It's not I. It's the Christ that lives in me. So I bless the Lord. Praise God. Our first passage of scripture, and let me just try to do this. Out of Acts, put on some glasses. The 17th chapter. Let me just start reading it, because the word preaches for itself. I'm in the New Living Translation, Acts 17, beginning at verse 22 through verse 30. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything. Even that raccoon you tried to kill in the backyard this morning. Scare him, okay. And he satisfies every need. Every need. every need. He supplies. He satisfies. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. We better get off of this prejudice stuff. We are all made from the same. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. And he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Have you ever lost something underneath the bed? And you get down on the floor and you be looking and you say, oh, there it is. And you try to reach it and you just keep on. I have short arms, so it's something I do quite often. But yeah, short arms. But the word says that his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us. So you don't have to look far. Somebody said he's just a prayer away. For in him we live and move and exist. How dare we think it's about us? It's about him for us. But it's not about us. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sin and turn. That's the message. The purpose for us to find him, even though he's not far away. Just a prayer away. Go with me, if you will, to Romans 12 and verses 1 through 3 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Already, the way we think wasn't right. So we need to find our way to him, even though he's not far away. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, the apostle says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by faith God has given us. Plain and simple. All right, one other passage here. Romans 1, 18 through 25. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. And I'm telling you, man can do some depraved stuff. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. So every believer who has a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ can say this as an affirmation. Galatians 2, verse 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, training my flesh to behave itself according to what the Spirit says I should do. It's a work. It's a process. It's an everyday get up, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. It's a daily practice. And we must do it as believers because the world is watching us. The lesson in Power Hour said that God said, enough of your sacrifices. Enough of this foolishness. People say, well, I don't bother nobody. They're saying, I keep the law. No, you don't, because even the lawmakers are lawbreakers. We have to train our flesh to behave. And when it doesn't, we have to repent. We have to humble ourselves. I was so glad when God gave me the understanding that it is enormous when you humble yourself before him and apologize to your neighbor, to your spouse, to your sibling, to your parent, to whomever that you've offended. It's an humbling experience, but it's an exalting one because it lets us know that it's not I, but it's the Christ that lives in me. It don't hurt to say I'm sorry. I messed up. I ain't perfect. Who am I trying to fool if I'm trying to fool anybody? I'm not fooling anybody. Get that? I like that one. I'm glad this is being recorded. Play that back. Praise God. So the affirmation continues. It said, let me read it again. But Christ lives in me. Oh, I love that. I'm so grateful that God lives in me. You have no idea where I came from. I am so grateful Christ lives in me. You don't know what I used to think. I am so grateful Christ lives in me. And he's still working on me, Sister Jessie. Because every now and then, a thought that don't belong to me comes to me, and I have to hit that eject button. Thank you, Lord, for the eject button. Because I'm not going to take and entertain everything that comes to my mind. It's not healthy. Praise God. I love the Lord because he first loved me. And he's teaching me how to love him back. In so doing, by me loving everyone else. What an awesome God. So, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm just not living in the flesh like I used to. God, thank you. Thank you, God. But it's because who loved me and gave himself for me. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He says, I do not set aside the rest of the confirmation, the affirmation. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. The law didn't come to save. The law came to say we need the Savior. So it's not good enough to say, I don't bother nobody. You know, I'm minding my own business. No, that's not good enough. We have to train our flesh, and the only way we can train our flesh is to live and walk in the Spirit. And so Christ lives within us to make that possible. So as a believer, that should be our affirmation. Galatians 2:20 through 21. So if you cannot in honesty proclaim that word, you need to come to the altar. One of Sapati's favorite songs, wasn't it Come to the Altar? It says, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's not I. It's the Christ who lives in me. God bless you. Wow.